Welcome to New Rain Podcast with me, Autistic Liara, your host on a podcast that talks about neurodivergency with neurodivergent people. You can be able to watch it, listen to it, and read it, whether that's watching it on YouTube on the New Rainbow Project YouTube channel and Facebook page, or you can listen to it by finding the New Rainbowcast with Autistic Liara podcast feed on your favourite podcasting platforms, or you can read it on www.neurorainbowproject.com, and on that website you can find all the information you may want to know from about the New Rainbow Project and the things that we talk about on the podcast. And also, if you want to get in touch with the podcast and follow the podcast and the channel, go at New Rainbow Project on various social media channels. There you can find different bits of the best bits of the interviews, some thoughts, comments, and random bits and bobs on Instagram and particularly, but you know, there's some stuff coming on TikTok and Facebook, so keep all those channels peeled. And let's get into today's interview with Kayla Smith. Kayla will be chatting about her experience as a black autistic woman, and where she chats about intersectionality within the neurodivergent community and the inequalities within it. She says quite candidly her experiences and what drives her in her advocacy and activism, as she is motivated by the inequalities based on her race within the neurodivergent community. And this is an interview that I was had the pleasure of having, and I think you will enjoy this. So, without further ado, it's Kayla Smith.
My name is Kayla. I am a disability justice advocate for 6 years. I am the creator of Black Autistic Pride, which is celebrating being Black and Autistic, and just discussed about intersectionality. And I have a community on GVBA app called Neurodiversity in Black to discuss about intersectionality within neurodiversity, to do live discussion group session based on intersectionality and talk about what I be autistic, so talk about other issues and also working on our biases as well.
I'll start by your own personal story about how you discovered you are autistic.
For me, just being autistic, since I've been autistic since I was 2 years old, so it's the journey accepting my own disability. It took a long time to understand myself, because I thought I learned about my disability at 10 by my mom. But then, of course, you go your teenage years, you have some internalized ableism and not liking yourself along the way, until I exposed myself to the autism community online, especially on Twitter, which is now X. And that when I learned about disability rights and autism rights. And that when I came at activists and started to spread awareness about autism, because I didn't know that my disability is having people be missing out trying to change the narrative. And also led me to talk about intersectionality and spreading and make sure that everybody in the autism community feel heard, especially who Black and not Black and brown autistic people, women who are autistic, and everybody who not privileged. So I make sure, even though my focus is on especially Black autistic people, because that's what my expertise is, because I'm Black and autistic, make sure our voice is heard, because you can't hear one perspective that do not represent everybody. So we have to make sure that everybody feel heard in the community. But you can't change people, better though, yeah, who are the face of the movement. So you got to do what you have to do.
As you said, you were diagnosed. Did you say you were diagnosed at the age of 2? Okay, yeah. So what was it that was noticed at a young age as your autistic traits? What was it like that only finding out at the age of 10?
When I thought I learned about my autism, at first, at the time, little kid yourself, I always do some research on autism and what about. Mostly just would like to be autistic. And I noticed they talk about girls and autism, because I looked that up, because I'd be a girl who autistic. But then when I go Pacific to me, you know, information, because back then they ain't did no research about the Black autism experience that much. First, I thought on my own disability, I'm like not ashamed of it at first, but then of course along the way that when I got developed internalized ableism, and which I don't have one, which it took me a long time to unlearn because we live in an ableist society.
What was the key traits and those things that affected you from young age at the age of 10 when you found out? What was the things that you noticed that were you being autistic?
What I noticed, even before I found out I was autistic, I know a simple thing. I used to go to speech therapy growing up. I go on that until I graduated from high school. And of course, going to these programs there for disabled people. And I do have people who work with me, work on my own life skills, anything like that. At first, I don't know why until now, after learning at 10 and afterward, then I learned that the responsibility to help me to go through this world, how to support yourself and have a disability. At first, I didn't know what going on, but I know the differences even before I found out that I was being told that I'm autistic. And then when I learned about it, and of course, that when I know they're different about me, but I don't know why at the beginning, especially going to my special ed class, especially elementary school and middle school. But I never know why till I know after the fact why. Until
Yeah.
because people judge me because I have a disability.
What were the things that you felt was different at that age when knowing that you are autistic? At age 10, what were the things that you were interested to learn about? What the questions you had and what the things you learned through your own research?
I had to think on that one. But especially with me just being autistic, sometimes I had to mask my autistic trait because you're taught by others that, oh, don't let autism define you. This is what you have. It do not define you. And I think that kind of led me to why I developed the internalized ableism. Because to be extinguishable, to be like everybody else, be normal. But I realized years later, what is normal? And I sometimes I grew up hearing myself like something wrong with me. I feel like you're strange. Why you can't relate to people? Why no one gets you? Why you don't have the same trait as those around your age? Like I remember growing up, I had to blend in the crowd so I don't be excluded. But of course, some part of my life I had to be excluded, whether it be in my advocacy work or people who look like me, who may not understand what autism is. Some that have like surface level of what autism is, like, oh, you quote, they use a functioning level, like, oh, you high function, or you low functioning. Or they just, or what they see on TV, typical autism, they put you in a bubble, like, oh, you good at math. Oh, that autism people good with STEM. No. But for me, yes, I'm good with math, but I'm not a mathematician. It's a hell no. But even though I'm an accounting finance major, which is strange. But I'm not a mathematician. And I think like people put autistic people in a box and based on what they assume about us. So I think they need to unlearn that not every autistic people is the same.
For anyone that might not understand or know much about it, but what do you see as your own experience of internalized? How were the things that you masked and what are the things you worked on over the years to unmask?
I'm imagining just like so your autistic trait, and but then there are times that I still had to mask because living to say that you had to be this particular way, but also to bring the fact that not everybody could unmask like if they want to, especially someone who looked like me, especially who Black and autistic or any other intersectionality. We cannot unmask like we want to. If we do unmask, we unalive be harmed if we do it, because and especially with the campaign about unmask, like I do agree that we do need to be ourselves, but then there's some barriers to it. Not everybody has the same privilege as those who, you know, who white and all that stuff. And that why I think it tricky. Yes, we want to be ourselves. We might imagine in the safe place with people who know us, right? Maybe in our home, maybe in our room, but in the public space, we cannot mad like we want to, especially if you like Black and brown. We cannot do that. Or especially if you're high support autistic person, you can't do that. But I can't speak on what it's like to be a high support autistic person, but That when things get a little tricky, like how safe you are, because due to the society that we live in.
What does well, when you are able to unmask what and be your authentic artistic self? And as you said, that if you're at home in your own space, you have the ability to have this safe space to unmask. When you feel safe enough, what does unmasking look like? What are the things that you want to be able to be masked, and what are the specific things that you feel are different within yourself and that health and might notice yourself masking, and what the things that people might notice if you unmask, if you get what I mean.
I do unmask if I'm in my own place. Like, I like to dance. I like to sing. And mostly dancing and jumping around and stuff like that, which kind of made me happy. But of course, you can't do it in public. But I had to use my headphone to play me some. And I know, like, every autistic person, maybe how they unmask may be different from mine. But for me, I like music. That was my stem. And it's just, I know some autistic people, they like bring their toy, or some they flap their hands, some just, it's different things for different people. And but for me, it's just music and stimming and dancing and singing that I like to do in my own comfort, or do the wine people who know me. But at the same time, I had to mask because, you know, living inside of that, not accessible to you. You had to, especially I have a job. And basically working in retail, that you cannot unmask like you want to. You have to be the particular way. So the core people think you're strange, like, oh, that person's strange. They'll never know why you do things do. So then masking can kind of lead me to burnout if I don't use it correctly.
Well, there's like a distinction between how what it means for a black person to a white person and masking, because there's certain place environments that, as you talk about intersectionality, important to recognize, like how there is that white privilege of not white autistic people might be more safe to unmask as black autistic person. And especially like in the States, when the environment concerns you about the police and society large. So what does that look like for yourself? What are your personal fears and anxieties and concerns about not being able to unmask? And what are the reasons why you feel you have to still mask in certain scenarios today?
Especially the unmasking part, not every autistic person had the privilege, though, what you be seeing on TV and research stuff like that, because we don't have the same experience. We don't have the same oppression like everybody else, because some people in our community had to deal with Islamophobia, anti-Semitism, or any other oppression they had to deal with, because this other layer other than dealing with ableism altogether or anti-autism, because they had to deal with multiple things at one time because due to cultural difference. And whether you be black or brown or just or being a woman or anything else, something we could do, we can, but they might put it at risk because due to society and knowing what is normal and stuff like that. It's very frustrating. Some people who have the most privilege not realizing why some people in our communities like me had to create spaces so we feel seen and heard, who could talk about this complex issue, because they could join, they could learn about experience, but they had to not to center themselves, because a lot of times, especially like unmasking and other issues, it tend to be from the white autistic perspective with privilege, and they're not realizing that their peers who not there don't have the same privilege and don't have the same access and resources as them. It could be why that basically though in the community don't have, and also there are a lot of a debate between awareness and acceptance. And for those who privilege, say, oh, really, we need autism acceptance, but then there's some part of our community who find they late diagnosed or some find out. Some of them, like in that community, who mostly black, brown, women, things like that, they're still in the waiting phase. It's like a mixture of inside baby, because why I keep saying we need autism awareness and acceptance, because yeah, we need to work on the awareness first, because not everybody aware about autism is, and maybe along the way it might lead to acceptance. Right now, We mix it of both, but lean toward awareness side instead of acceptance side, because not everybody in acceptance.
I understand what I mean, because guess from how you like perceive autism acceptance, if you look at the intersectionality, certain people, as you said, those with low support needs were right down for more privileged class backgrounds or more Western nations where diagnosis is more accessible, where you got support. I assume that when you say about autism awareness, needs to be able to have that platform to answer what autism looks like in diverse people, because there's over 100 millions of autistic people in the world. Getting diverse representation of what different autistic people look like and being able to relate to that. Since this is Autism Acceptance Month, what have you found from the content that has been produced for Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month and the stuff you've seen online or in the media about it?
Especially for this month, I think for too long that the narrative is still the same. Oh, like a surface level of autism. But I've been seeing for people who I've been following on social media, we always keep like having the same conversation again. It's always the same narrative every year. Oh, we need definition of autism, what autism is, a basic knowledge of what autism is. We need to go beyond it. Talk about complex reality, learn from different perspective, like intersectionality, how people differ from one another. And I think, especially with autism, it's no one know about autism, and that why it's so hard to get to a autism acceptance, because not many know about autism. We still in the awareness phase, and not everybody accepting of autistic people, and instill that autistic people still has faced discrimination in the workplace, school, due to lack understanding of autism, and that why their parents had to fight hard for them, or even autistic people that themselves had to fight hard to get accommodation and be accepted, because people still not knowing about autism. And what make it bad that there are people who don't know autism keep spreading misinformation about autism, and that make it worse. And even though people who from religious background, or some don't even know that doing it for clout, is it spreading more information? And even sometimes us autistic people can spread misinformation and say, assuming that everybody in the autism community is the same. And that when things go left real quick, even though we're supposed to spread awareness, but then we sometimes we contribute to and not realize not everybody is like us. Yes, we might have the same disability, but how we view things gonna be different. We don't have the same interest. We don't have the same what we want in life. It's gonna be different. So we need to be careful what we put out in the world. And also same with doctors, even though they do research on Earth, and sometimes, especially in the medical field, there's a whole lot of bigotry going rampant in the medical field, whether do it racism, sexism. It could be lead to why some good people in our community, that why there be race disparity, gender disparity, sexuality disparity, wherever. 'Cause I think for awareness, mommy, even every year, people need to unlearn their biases to understand how everybody's life is different from one another, so we could dismantle this system, so we don't keep this hierarchy in the autism community. Not just the autism community, but basically the disability spectrum too, because we cannot continue to have this surface level of what a disability is or autism is. They're not down with addressing the issue, especially with intersectionality issue in particular, because it seems like most spaces more overwhelmingly whitewash, and that's why so many people feel unheard, and that's why trying to spread awareness by using hashtag white, because it's the narrative is keep showing the same thing over again and nothing being heard. And that way, see many people creating their own spaces, like nonprofit, to survey super good people in the art to the community, because no one talking about them.
And what do you think are the things that people don't know about autism that they should know?
Autism, misinformation. You've heard this 1,000 times. Vaccine called autism. It has been debunked, but still, the people out there don't know jack about autism. Then they talk about autism ruining your family life because autism could take away your child, which is nuts. Or they use religion to think they could take away autism away, that you have to pray over it. which is wild. I've seen a lot of that, maybe some religion group, some people from based on Christianity, but I don't know about other form of religion. Pray over your disability that you could overcome it, which is never get. There's so many stereotype about autism don't make no sense. That autism is we don't have empathy or sympathy, or we unhuman. We strange, and also that we more likely be a suitor in some nonsense. It's so many wild, misguided misinformation about autism. I can't keep track of even stereotype like, oh, you good at math. I notice like I'm a college student, I graduate in May, and I notice if you're trying to look for like an internship or a job, especially like, if they have event for autistic people, they always saw like STEM job. I'm like, I'm accounting finance major. What if I want them job? And that's why I don't go to them and sometimes look at the company. What about those who have major in political science or history or in biology? You can't assume that every autistic person is good with maybe in the STEM program. Some of it does, but don't assume every autistic person does because it puts it in disadvantage in the workplace and in school because they have lack of awareness and accommodation and not being to know about autism, so they make assumptions that based on what they hear on TV and stuff, and which that make it well. Then people who don't know about autism make it worse. And especially in the workplace, I know it's especially a lot. Sometimes the parents think, you're not my child. Yes, you are correct. I'm not your child. Yes, we might have the same disability, but you and that your child and I are gonna be two different people. We're not the same. How I display my disability might be different from your child. Or you're someone you know who have autism, it go be different. We're not the same. I think that where people lump autistic people being the same. No, we have the same disability, but we're not the same people. Sometimes us autistic people fall that trap as well.
How would you define autism?
Especially what I know is a neurodevelopment disorder that impacts somebody with social skills, how they see things in the world. Let's say you're not a You don't have the same brain as somebody else, as a non-autistic person does. You just see things differently. And yes, you may be behind something. You might be overstimulated. And especially with aiding reliant support, sensory issue, like a normal person can't handle while a distinct person or autistic person cannot handle. They have we had to accommodate. Yes, we could function. As long as there's some accommodation to our need, where I'll be overwhelming that we lead to burnout and meltdown and stuff. Some of us might be sensitive to sound, to cut, to it like it basically would impact our senses. What we see, feel is different, but of course our brains are gonna be different. That's how I think about autism.
If you could set a narrative of what autism and awareness month could be about on Acceptance Month, what are the things that you feel the community and people need to be focused on?
What they need to focus on? Oh gosh. What definitely people need to work on? Finding, oh man. Of course, they need to understand what autism is, but to unlearn their ableism and unlearn what they think of what autism is, because this they kind of, people make assumptions about autism before they meet an autistic person. And sometimes some people say you meet with one autistic person, you meet with autistic person. But sometimes that person perceived about one autistic person, they think they're gonna be the same to the next autistic person, which is not the case. We need to unlearn that. And also having the parents of autistic children or adults to unlearn their bias and what they think they know, to unlearn and also help their child grow up without having all their ableism and stuff. And that need to work on. And also, of course, talk about intersectionality, how different community within the autism community experiences, and also make sure that autistic people have the resources they need to for their life, going to school or whether they get a job or while some of us might need high support need have caregiver make sure that they help us with their idea of children and make sure the system that whatever government that we live in that is accessible to us so we don't have to work food and have to pool our disability, which is freaking wild. It is it's like understanding us and accepting us as we are and not trying to change us. And yes, all to the is a genetic and not what called whatever. It's they don't people need to know it's genetic and not a vaccine BS on whatever, because that need to be said. We need more perspective. And also with the media and TV stuff like that, even research, they need to include different perspective, because not every autistic person is the same. They need to make sure they research and also hire autistic people to talk about the experience they're assuming from a parent perspective.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, because when you're saying about the different perspectives of autistic people, it's something that I have noticed myself with Autism Awareness and Acceptance Months, because I think sometimes with these months, it's like what is at the forefront is what's more palatable or acceptable for when more than the typical audience to see autism as, and what, and you get the more what people feel a bit more comfortable with seeing, the more privileged feel on the lower support needs, not and also not focusing on some of the bigger issues at play with areas of injustice within the community. And it's a good point you picked up on about hiring people of different perspectives, because when you think about it, a lot of people hired to do with the speak to companies or wherever places are often of low support needs and of the right people and of human genders. And so that's definitely an issue there with that. And I guess it's even a thing of after social media, where the social media could be a place where there's a bit more chance for equality, but you can't, you probably find that you can't, and doesn't reach the audience as in the neurodivergent person who is the right person.
Yeah, it's definitely we need more perspective. Yes, we need parents of autistic children to talk about the experience. Of course, doctor and
Yeah.
professor, of course, their voice need to be heard too. But the what they tend to be left out is the autistic people they sell. And that what then go wrong. And they need to listen to autistic person perspective. They cannot be, of course, they need parents of autistic children, of course, that their voice matter. If you want to serve the autistic community, you have to talk to us directly and interactive. But sadly, some people like we not the expert, but we live through it 24/7. You
Yeah.
need our perspective. You don't, you be harming the community that you're supposed to be helping. Yet I know there's some people who trying to help autistic people with their life and stuff, but sometimes with their unlearned biases about autism or having internalized ableism, they might put autistic people at risk without not working on it. Whether it be ABA, even though they think they happen them, happen to others, but all the time they not. It could due to the side that we live in, you have to blend in. Of course, we live in a capitalist society that you have to work. And some of us, that's why you see some autistic people be unemployed, because we do want to work, or some, of course, not all of us, are low
Yeah.
support. Some of us high support need may not work, and they need caregiver to help them out. Or and for those who is low support need, do go to job and stuff like that, but then they get burned out because the job is not accessible to them. And that's why all the people who working in HR or whatever not understand about autism and not understand how to, and because of themselves, they assume that you are normal or non-autistic person. And that when thing go left real quick, because that's how autistic people be underemployed and underappreciated. And also, they need to see autistic people as human being and not subhuman. They keep forgetting we are human beings with feelings. Oh, they can't understand you. If you raise that person or you teach that person, they go hear you what you say. If you say bad thing around them, we go observe what you say about us, and that's why many of us have internalized ableism. We hear what we heard about our disability, like you talk about us, not to us. And people keep forgetting that we are human beings too. That's what they need to work on. We are human beings with feelings. And our voice matters. And of course, many of us have many trauma from our experience for being autistic in a world that don't accept us.
I said when black people don't understand autistic people, sometimes as like that can be down to having communication differences where that people do not always give the patience and time to listen to an autistic person speak or communicate in however they communicate and be able to give the resources to them. And as somebody who yourself always worked in advocacy and activism, what's it been like speaking to other neurodivergent people within the community or to other to people who are like parents or like teachers of new people? What's your experience of communicating with other people and using your platform to discuss these things?
Especially with how we communicate, it gonna be different for those who not to say. It's like I know that sometimes we can't be direct with our sponsor, and sometimes they take it like, "Oh, you being mean or being rude." But you ask her the question, and we answer you like honestly. We not being rude or not. We just how our brain works. Or it could be the person who we are, how we operate. But sometimes people get wrong that we being rude or be mean, but you get if you ask her, we're gonna tell you. But I think people, and also they need to understand how we communicate. Yes, autistic person gonna be different from one autistic person. So you gotta figure out our communicating style so we don't make things. So you have to be clear with your communication with others. Your dog will gonna be look like confused and stuff like.
You said that before you've spoken to people who work in your college and if that's your peers, fellow students, to your teachers and staff in the college, as well as speaking to parents, neurodivergent people. What has that experience been like talking to people about experience of autism?
This is where I, especially when it comes to communication, but sometimes I can take things literal. If they don't explain the way that I understand it, then I get myself frustrated because if sometimes non-autistic people do not explain the way that we can understand things, and this is where there'd be miscommunication. And also, it could be the person not understanding, like, how we operate. It could be like they misunderstood that they don't include it in their friend group because they think we weird and we think we this and that, we strange, we don't have the same interest as them. Because even in my own personal life, yes, I don't have many friends. It seemed like I relate to no distinct people or people with disability or disabled people in general, because with non-autistic people, they don't know what it's like to have a disability every day, and I could relate those who have disability than those who not. And I felt they could understand what I like more than not the non-disabled people. With non-disabled people, they go think we strange and stuff like that, and they not willing to do the work to understand our disability, not willing to understand us as an individual. So they make assumption that you have this disability, I'm gonna stay away from you. Or they're not willing to understand. They put their perspective of what someone they know who have that particular disability, lump that into you, thinking it's gonna be the same thing that need to be changed.
How do you start into speaking to people? Like I said, about you spoken to people within your college about autism and the different stuff within your college space, as well as speaking to parents. Also, you've been able to do stuff online about activism and advocacy. How did you start with all that?
Yeah, it made me think about back in my community college. I started my education at a community college, and I did two events about autism. And of course, I bring two people who work with autistic people. And of course, I had to use myself as an autistic person to talk about what it's like to be me, right? We need that perspective, which I did not know until I came out and learned about the disability community and learned that they don't include disabled people in conversation or even the type of event or disability advocacy work. So I decided to include myself to talk about what it's like to be me, what I be autistic, what need to be changed. And some people do ask questions because not everybody know about autism. Some people will join, but not many, because of course a lack of awareness. or they do want to learn about autism, if whether it be a teacher, parent, or whatever, to help that person they raising or helping who autistic to understand. I hope people are listening what I have to say, and other autistic advocate to listen what we say and take it to the heart and make some changes. But I felt like they do hear what, but they, I don't know. I make an assumption. Hope they take our experience and take away with it and make some changes. But up to there, they want to make a change. But you can't change people.
Yeah, and from like when you've been speaking to parents and like people in the community college, what are the questions they asked you? And you know, as you're saying that, you feel that people's lack of education because of misinformation. Is that some feedback that you got from them? So, what is the feedback and the questions you had from people?
Like, I remember, like, when I first became an activist, about a mom who is asking questions. Basic thing about asking questions like, how to support my child? And ask a question like, dang. Ask a question about the child. Ask a question like, how to support my child? Especially for the parent. How to support my child? What about autism? And talk about that. And so they talk about the experience with that child. And I tell them, like, you know your child more than me. And I will always tell parents, treat them like they every other child. They're a human being too. Yes,
Yeah.
they have a disability. But treat them like they like every other kids.
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to learn because I've had the sense that some of our autistic people on social media have not always had the same message give across. And I think that is the most important thing to say because, as you implied, every child is different and no autistic person's the same, as said, treat them like in a way like everyone else, but also it's like making sure you learn and understand about your child and how they are. What has advice you give in that sense? Was it influenced by your own childhood and the parenting that you had as a child yourself?
I know I'm not a parent, but because maybe because it's very important for parents to see, yes, see somebody who look like them, who have a disability, they could do things on their own. But I'll be telling them, help your child out, whether it be using or just finding resources to help them to help their autistic child or even themselves to understand about autism. It's very important for especially for a parent to get some resources, because I know a lot of time some parent may get some resource, but that not misguided. And sometimes they may not go directly to autistic people. They said they go directly to the professional or the other parents, but not so much about the autistic experience. But of course, there are some parents not go listen to autistic people because we're not the expert on their child. And yes, you are correct. We're not the expert on your child, but at the same time, like, we could understand something. We might help you out to understand, so you
Yeah.
don't, so they don't create so they don't create harm to their own child. What have they done to us? We don't repeat the pattern again.
Yeah. And what was your like own experience like of them being parented? Is there things from when you was being parented by your parents? Is there like things that influence that your own autism advocacy and then, you know, give advice to the parents of what you learned from your own childhood?
Especially for my childhood, I know for my parents, they did the best of their ability to understand me. Of course, they used some outdated term, the functioning level. And sometimes, even though they do have faith in their own children, but sometimes my parents put me in a box sometimes based on my disability and stereotype associated with autism. And yes, like sometimes they have some and a lot of ableism, like they don't want me. They do want me to exceed, but sometimes they hold me back a little bit because they scare. Because like they sometimes, Kayla, can you do that on your own? Take care of yourself. Because they worry, because live in a world that people just mean. People just asshole in general. And with my take advantage of me because I'm autistic. I know I can't change the reality. Yes. But of course, like every parent, they scare. Like, sometimes I didn't understand that at first, but of course, maybe it has some ableism, and then of course sometimes use the religion. Like, you could overcome autism. Autism do not define you. Was that correct? But sometimes they don't know the extent of how my disability can affect my day-to-day life. What if I be burnt out, exhausted, may not function? What if my routine go off? It could be a little thing, my routine be off, and I'm like, fuck it. But I know sometimes they change my routine a little bit, or life in general, so they don't understand like how specific routine help me to keep myself sane. Of course, like, they not perfect, they human being, but I think they do. I think they're doing better to let me be me. Maybe I was younger because of course they want to protect their child, but now I'm adult now. They like, okay, you grown now.
Do you think that sometimes when you're able to give advice to parents, it's do you feel like to kind of give the advice that you wish your parents had from other people when you were diagnosed? Do you think that you're able now to at least understand the things you wish your parents could understand at the time when you were diagnosed and you were growing up? But they might but not add the information themselves.
My parents should know. Maybe don't overpush your autistic child to the limit. Do not push your child to the limit. That, yes, don't let autism define me. You're correct, but don't overlimit your child to the limit that could lead them to burnout. What happened to me?
So I
Don't be hard
guess.
on your child. Don't make your child overachieve. They need to realize, yes, we have limits too, because certain disability can impair you to do certain things. And sometimes wish my parent could understand, like, some I had limit, and sometimes they want me to overachieve that limit to be like a super super disabled person, super autistic person. I'm not that. I got limits. I wish they could learn that I have limits.
Yeah, and so I guess it's something that burnout has been something you experienced. And what has that experience of burnout been for yourself and helped you for experiencing autistic burnout?
I'll be honest with you, I don't even know. I go with the wind because all my life I had to fight. So sometimes I don't even know what my limit is, if I be honest with you. Sometimes I overpush myself because due to internalized ableism. And I think like I may put myself over the limit and not realize I'm going the limit until I notice that I don't do jack for days. Or when I want to do something, but for some reason I don't want to do nothing because I realize just like I don't want to do jack. Or you could be a mental breakdown while even knowing it. I'm just trying to learn that through therapy. I'm maybe could do the fact back think back on it because I think due to my internalized ableism, I think I try to be like perfectionist at everything that what led me to my burnout. And I try not to leave myself to burnout, but knowing me, I put myself on the limits trying to do multiple things one time and learn not to say yes to everything. I still need to work on that one. But maybe what I should have done is like pay attention to my body or how I react to certain things. If I find myself zoning off, then I think that when I need to step back a little bit and take care of myself because I really don't check in myself like I'm supposed to, so that I had to remind myself of that. It's a work in progress.
If like thing is, I think being autistic, it's always like a work in progress because we always, as humans, and we learn a lot more about ourselves, and that you're always learning different things about yourself because over time you change, and it's that thing where you have to learn a bit more about burnout as you age because, like, now I guess now we start to look at. Where you might not notice the signs before, because it's something that if you are going through burnout, I think it's hard then to notice the signs of it because can they start to dissociate and start to not recognize what sensory things are you would be as the signs of burnout because you cannot process it in your senses.
Not thinking straight or probably disassociating a little bit because I think I find myself doing that, or I just don't do jack, or I just play my video game, play my app game or do something on social media for hours because I could be mentally exhausted without even knowing that I'm exhausted. So they had to explain to myself, like, it's okay that you feel this way. It's okay that you don't have the same energy all the time. When sometimes I'm definitely had to be kind to myself, and probably every autistic person. We're not non-autistic people. We had to pace ourselves, what our limits are. We gotta figure out what our limits are so we don't burn ourselves out or lead to burnout in no time. It's like self-optimization to know yourself, to know when you know you're about to experience burnout or mental breakdown. You just know.
Yeah, and what like for autistic people, things that can help maybe sometimes prevent burnout or at least help us through like some the experience of fatigue that we might have. So what are the accommodations? So what accommodations and adjustments do you need as an autistic person and as part of how autism can be quite disabling? What are the things that you need? And some more things that other people may need and might be good things to consider as accommodations.
I will say this, every autistic person is different. Like for me, I like music. It's had me feel calm. I feel relaxed. Or I could dance a little bit to the music. That would help me keep me sane. It may be different to other autistic person. Maybe they like their STEM toy. Oh yeah, so that had a little like STEM toy. It's still like that. I had that if I want to play with it. It's different thing for different people. Maybe for them, they like to take a walk. Maybe they like listen to music like I do, or could talk to their friend. Some of those, some are introverted, extroverted, or in the middle. We different. So we had to, I would say, figure out what worked for you, how you like to operate. It only could help by how to accommodate yourself. That I would say, know yourself first. You know how you operate. That I would say to every autistic person. Know you, know how you operate.
And when you were saying about like how music helps you, what type of music do you enjoy and listen to when you need to stimulate, release energy or relaxes you? What are the music you enjoy then?
The type of music I listen to, and mostly R&B and hip hop, that's the most I listen to. But sometimes I listen to other genre of music. But I know sometimes it's to Latin music or like Arabic music. Or it depends on my mood. Maybe like something I might listen to, like international music sometimes. It depends on my mood. Or I could sing. And I said I use music so that I play my headphone, play my music from this app that I'll be using to listen to music and have my headphone everywhere I go, where I could eat, where I eat my dinner, or even taking a shower so that I have a speaker. I'm like, oh. Okay, I'm moody. I'm in a good
Yeah, and so was
Yeah.
it what are your favorite songs or artists are you enjoying at the minute?
Oh man, I like too many artists, but I think right now, it's very different. Mine kind of rhythm, but I think most of the type of music I like, like Janelle Monáe, different
Yeah.
artists I like, depending their style, thing like
Yeah.
that.
Yeah, George and Edmony. And yeah, and also with comedy, since the things that in school and in college workplace and stuff, things that might help you more practically in day-to-day life that also would class as accommodations, while the things that might help you in work or when you're studying.
Oh yeah, especially where I study. I'm most like a visual person, so that I read a book or whatever I look at my notes. But especially for my accommodation for my class, especially for coming exam and quizzes, I get like an extended time. And it kind of been like that since I remember from middle school. I get extended time on my exam or in quizzes. And I don't know how that work in the workplace, but it probably not. You had to figure that out. But I
And
did try to figure that out.
as you said earlier on, that sometimes it can be quite hard to turn the mask and say that something might not be, feel as safe or comfortable to do like certain dancing or, singing. So are you involved in any places where you like, I see it must be a hobby for yourself Do you do any like dance classes or go to, or do any singing things? Is it something, or is it just like something you just enjoying in your free time, really, when you're at home or wherever?
I used to exercise growing up, but I stopped until I had my job and stuff. That kind of stopped me. But for me, if I would go back again, maybe exercise, maybe go to the gym. If I have the money, then I might do that. Or and what other stuff bring me joy? Of course, I like to dance. I also play my games. I used to play video games all the time growing up, but I stopped. But now it's just app games. Spend my money there. But yeah, just majority of the time. Also, I do karaoke sometime. But if my family decided, oh, we're gonna do karaoke, and we don't do it every time, but if we
Yeah.
do, no problem.
Yeah. And one of the things I've been to ask you about is how you started the Black Autistic Pride and the hashtags within the Black Autistic community. Do you want to start a review about hashtag and create that online community? And what was like before that? And how do you see a need for creating a hashtag? Do you think that before there wasn't much of a community online for Black autistic people?
Before I created the hashtag, before that, I was just living my normal life. And of course, at the time, before I became an activist phrase, I just lived my life, of course, with my internalized ableism. Of course, graduating from high school back in 2015. Yeah, I'm older, but trying to live my life. Then, of course, one day I exposed myself to the autism community and the disability community online, learn about disability rights and talk about would like to have a disability or being autistic in general. And that when I learned about disability and I also spread awareness about autism. And what led me to this, like, I guess somebody in the disability community talk about intersectionality. And I'm like, what is that? And that when I learned about intersectionality, it's mostly about how one idea didn't impact another. And I thought I'd do some research because I had to do some research about autism and gender. Or autism and girls way before back in my musical high school year. I did a lot of research on that one. But I did not know, like, when I had to look up autism and race, I realized it's the same issue with regarding gender. The lack of just a lot of disparity when it comes to get diagnosed because lack of cultural awareness and the lack of how people operate. And that thing also, what led me to like in going to 2018 when Autism Awareness Month, I tried to figure out that. And then when I got created, which was originally Autistic Black Pride to talk about what it like to be me, celebrate being black and autistic, because you see the hashtag like Autistic Pride or Black Pride. And I decided I could do both. And we died. Create that hashtag because I did not know there's a disparity when it comes to autism, but when it comes to race, and that's why I create that hashtag.
Yeah, and what's things be, as you've been using, how has you, what was it, has it, hang on, I'm just going to trigger my words. What has it been like seeing other people use hashtag, or if other people used hashtag, what things have people posted about, and have you been able to meet other autistic people online and make other connections just by creating that hashtag?
Yeah, maybe just when I created that hashtag, it would help like Black autistic people talk about what it's like to be them or being prideful, being autistic pride, just like autistic pride, being prideful of who you are, bringing yourself for being autistic, and also bracing yourself being black, and also talk about some issue with to be black disabled person. Of course, there's some people don't like to have it because they think like I'm dividing up the community by race or color. Which is well petty, but forget them people. I created for Black autistic people, but and of course there's some parents of autistic or Black autistic children could use the hashtag. At first, I don't know how to start it for, but anyone who knows someone who Black and then autistic to spread awareness, like share your pride because we need that awareness. Like, and also get to, and also use the hashtag to find the other Black autistic people out there and follow each other. Or maybe help other people who not white, just follow those who black and autistic.
With the content you've been making recently, then you could reflect so the more of the general autistic spaces as quite isn't as inclusive as to black people, or that might be an understatement. But as you said, that you find that with that autism pride or autism acceptance gets right lost. And so how would you like, I know that is something you said already on social media, but what does that right lost look like on Autism Acceptance Month, and it beyond that, what is that? What are the things they see right lost within the community?
What do you mean need to be done in the autistic community, whether it be the parents or the autistic people they sell? They cannot, those who have privilege, they cannot be the only one talking about it. And also with the correct image and that narrative that you had to be this particular look to be autistic. And sometimes the autism had been whitewashed for so long that by parents or autistic people who have privileges, and sometimes sadly, people look up to them in social media and research stuff like that. They think they are the default of what autism is and leave out those who not them. And I think that narrative need to change because that narrative focuses on the white autistic person perspective or the white autism parent perspective more. And that need to change. Because how are you supposed to say you for everybody and you're not for everybody? That need to be changed. You can't say you're for all autistic people and or for all autism community and you're not working your biases and not dismissing the system within the community and not addressing the intersectionality issue. And yeah, and that way some people are like, why you bring up race? Why you bring up gender or whatever? Why people like me have to create spaces to address the issue which y'all not gonna address? So don't blame us for why creating spaces that you don't want to work on. Maybe we won't have this kind of hashtag like the Black Autistic Pride to address the specific issue that relate to that. Sadly, autistic community, it continue to be whitewashed to this day, and that need to change. But you can't make all people they don't want to do.
I think that's a frustrating place, is if you're wanting to see this change happen, but as you said that multiple times, that this is something that it can happen, that you want to see change happen, but people not willing to make that change themselves or open to listen to. And I think this is the problems that are going on within the community and what's making it harder for things to progress, as you see that or the autistic community and anything to do with autism acceptance and awareness should include everybody by race and gender, and as it's something that people can feel excluded by, and you won't get autism acceptance properly if you don't include those of minority races or minority genders. And that's really the point that I know you're trying to highlight and raise, really, when do your content highlighting the right to autism. And it's just sometimes to make progress, I think it's kind of a difficult conversation, and you got to make up a bit to some uncomfortable information.
Yeah, especially with autism, definitely be changed due to the narrative around autism. The image needs to be changed because it cannot be continued for decades. When on TV stuff, that need to be changed. But people had to bring different perspective need to be changed because I'm sick and tired of seeing them. Yes, of course, their voice matter, but they can't be the only one. Autism, and that would need to be changed and. We need to address the image problem within the autism community so we could continue as a community, but of course, and also addressing the ableism and for autistic people, the trauma relating to being autistic, and also with the result of tone police and other autistic people, what autism is. We need to address that issue. But I've been seeing that a lot by other autistic people, especially those who low support need police and other autistic people, which is.
This is something that I definitely seen happen, and I think that's sometimes, like, I think You don't see people who have a bit less privileged or who can see where there's the bigger platforms, there's a more privilege within a community. They may not be making about statements. And I think that's the thing is when you like mention something, it's just like holding accountability and where you just want people to be able to acknowledge and learn from things. You know, you're saying about what change needs to happen. How do you think change could happen, or how do you think it will happen, and how confident are you about change happening?
If I be honest with you, it's basically what we at. It's not going, why not? It's not happening because that narrative still the same. People not working their bodies. It might take some decades until we could be more inclusive and more be involved in intersectional activism. But right now, you're not seeing it because right now it's being whitewashed. And it gonna take probably a decade, maybe 2 or 3 decades. I don't know. I don't know when that gonna change when I get older, but I don't know gonna take a while because right now what you're seeing, people have their own kind of spaces for now relating to a specific identity. Like you said, with nonprofit like Autism Black, which I'll be presenting at a conference this weekend, which is mostly for the Black community to understand autism and but everybody could join to understand the Black side of autism because. Not everybody had the same resources because due to how, especially in the United States in particular, there's a lot of disparity. Yeah, that way you see so many spaces like Autism Women and Non-Binary Network, which except for autism women and LGBTQ plus people, while Autism Black, it'd be for the Black community to understand autism, spreading awareness, and other group as well talk about different issues within the autism community. So it might go be like that until people who had the most privilege to change their ways and work at their biases, but right now they ain't doing it.
Do you want to share a bit more about this conference even you got coming up this weekend?
Yes, Autism Black Conference. It's a virtual conference. So it could be different speaker from professional activists and things like that talk about bring research to the for the Black community, best for parents, autistic people, etc. Or anybody who want to learn about the Black side of autism. So for me, I'll be presenting the Black autistic experience because a lot of times they always show the white autistic experience instead of showing what it's like to be Black and autistic. So I'm going to talk about that in my presentation.
What are the things you might want people to read, watch, follow, or look up if they want to find more about those intersectional voices within a Black autistic community? Any resources that you think people should check out if they want to learn more?
It's a lot. But I know Autism Women Non-Binary Network, even though this focuses on women and LGBTQ plus people, but they do have a autistic people of color fund, which is how Black and brown autistic people with resources, if they need help pay with a bill, things like that, they could use that. Or they could follow Black and brown autistic people or any of marginalized autistic people to follow to learn about their experience. Learn about that, or you could follow. I also get some books too,
Do you have
and
any you would recommend?
right now I got this book called Autistic and Black Experience. I think that was it called, but I can't remember. But let me check. I think called up. Bear with me. I'm trying to think the name. I'll tell you in a minute. I think it's called Autism and Black Experience. I think that's the name. I ain't got started, but I will in a minute when I have time for
Yeah.
what for this homework. But it's gotta find the name, gotta find the name, gotta find the name, gotta find the name. No, I'm trying to look on my LinkedIn. Oh Lord, this is bad. I think they call Autism Black Experience, but let me check. Be on the safe side. I think that what the name called.
Well, send me an email later of any free resources or those books you would recommend and just have a list of them.
Yeah, I could do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Autism Black book.
And
In Black.
yeah.
And they got a podcast too, if you want to learn about. The book called, I'm reading right now, I'm thinking about Autism Black, Our Experiences of Growth, Progress and Empowerment. The author is
Yeah.
Kayla Allen Omosa. I can't say that.
Yeah.
Let me drop it down.
I'll look it up anyway. Yeah. Thanks for that. And is there any anything else you wanted to say that I haven't got a chance to say already on this interview?
I would say for this month and even after Autism Awareness Acceptance Month, listen to marginalized autistic people. We need more perspective. And also follow Black autistic people or any marginalized people, whether it be the book about Would Like to Be Them, maybe the movie, maybe TV show, or even the documentary, anything. Just listen to us and even clue us in podcasts or in conference. What I'm doing right now, or even go autism in Black, which is funded by a Black autistic woman. Ain't that funny, way? And other, if you are parents of autistic children, if you write Black, the color of autism, I figure the nonprofit. It's so many out there, I just can't keep track of. Oh, and for Black and Brown autistic people, go to Autistic People Color Fund.
As I said, if you've got any other resources you want me to direct people to or recommend that them as well. And so as well, do you want to also say any like your own social media and say where people can you find and follow you or any other things you want to promote?
Oh yeah, I got so many names. Okay, well, Instagram, it is Black Autistic Kayla, and I think it's Black Autistic Kayla on Instagram, TikTok, and Thread, and also for Twitter now X, which is Kayla Being Me. And also, I failed to mention that I have a community on Geneva app, which is called Noah Diversity in Black. Which everything go be in my link tree or my social media, thing like that. They could go from there. And if, and also to let everybody know, if you want to join my community on Geneva, you have to work on your biases and decolonize your mind because I don't play that.
And thanks again for Keila Smith for coming on the podcast. And I think Keila Smith had some good things to talk about. And as you said in the end, you know, that about where you can find her on social media and follow her. And thanks again for listening. And just to tell you about what's coming up in May, I got a new episode coming off Pacifying with Autistic Liar. The third episode that will be as struggle to get some guests, and so if you know anybody good that would be great to come on our podcast, please email newrainbowproject.com, and that podcast is also promoted with Pacifier Addicts online, and where you can get the online store of pacifiers. So if that sounds any good for you, you can get. Can find that website to get your own pacifiers adult sized and get 5% off it or get a discount anyway with the code pacifying pod. And you can also, and also going to tell you about newer podcast episode, newer idea anyway for podcast episode. That'll be a documentary reflecting 35 years of. Dyspraxia Foundation and the in demise and how they are setting and what will the impact be in here in the UK. So you can also email if you want to get involved anything with to say on newrainbow@newrainbowproject.com. Again, you'll find some details about how you can get involved in that on the social medias at New Rainbow Project. Can see bits about that on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, wherever. You know, we'll be posting about that thing where you can get involved with that, and again on the website about what you can expect from that documentary that will be going out on YouTube as a special episode. And so, thanks again for listening. You know, as I said, it's been great to have you listening and. Get involved, please. You know, like, follow, share, you know, spread this interview, you know, give positive reviews and all that. 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and other podcast platforms so you can leave a good review. And you know, I think you can do something similar on Spotify, and you can give a thumbs up and subscribe on YouTube for this channel, as well as subscribing to the podcast feed on all the podcasting platforms. Thank you and goodbye.